when a patient is admitted into hospital and the high care unit is busy with the patient, they've exhausted all their efforts, their expertise, their knowledge, the equipment that they have at their disposal. At that time, it's the moment to ask them, how is the patient? He says, ask Allah Ta'ala. Because he understands. Or let's say, he understands now his expertise, his competence, the machines, and whatever he's got, he can work to a certain point. Beyond that point, it is the call of Allah Ta'ala. But had the doctor only accepted this from the very beginning, it would have been much better. When you try, the decision is Allah Ta'ala's. Allah Pak doesn't like this, that we attribute things to people besides Him. You'll see all the Anbiya alayhi salam, when something happens at their hands, then they'll be quick to attribute it to Allah Ta'ala. Look at Dawood and Sulaiman alayhi salam. And Allah Ta'ala blesses them both. So they say, وَقَالْ حَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي فَضَّلَنَا. So straight away, they don't allow the thing to be attributed to them. قَالْ حَمْدُ لِلَّهِ Allah Ta'ala's work. Again, Sulaiman alayhi salam orders for the throne of Bilqis. فَلَمَّا رَآهُ مُسْتَقِرًا عِنْدَهُ. Again, هَذَا مِنْ فَضْلِ رَبِّي. This is just the grace of Allah Ta'ala. And this is a trial. It's a test. لِيَبْلُوَنِي أَأَشْكُرُ أَمَكْفُرُ. Allah Ta'ala wants to see whether I am thankful or I am ungrateful. That's what He wants to see. وَمَنْ شَكَرَ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ لِنَفْسِي. And it's also showing that in the event you make shukr, then it's for your own good. It's not that Allah Ta'ala is waiting for your shukr. He doesn't need it, but He wants to see the level of your acknowledgement. What is the level of your acknowledgement? What is the level of your admitting? You bought a brand new car, right? Say Ferrari or something you bought, and you lent it to your friend, right? Enjoy it for few days. It's your car, and you lent the car to him. How much that thing cost? 35 million then. Brand new, out of the box. 35 million then, Ferrari, right? Now, he goes and adjusts the papers to his name. Forges the papers to his name. How will you take it? Will you take it happily? Or you'll be terribly disappointed? So, you feel so disappointed, whereas the money didn't belong to you, belonged to Allah Ta'ala. He gave you, right? You went and purchased it. All is the gift of Allah Ta'ala. But when there was a misattribution, you took it personally, you will talk to the person, you will take him to court, you will fight with him. Right? But why? A misattribution. So this is what Allah wants. Don't misattribute things. Attribute it to the right sources. From Allah Ta'ala, then say it is Allah Ta'ala's. You start off and you end off. you see the all black, right, the all black. He also says Timban Kosi. I still say that, Timban Kosi. Trust Allah. We all understand that at a certain point the proceedings all just end up. They terminate in their own the work of Allah Ta'ala. And you, what you do is not that you are making it come up, no. You're just putting procedures. I'd ask you that food that you take, that muscle food. So most that you do is, the most that you do is just to enjoy it. You saw that muscle, some gravy, some sauce, some chutney, whatever, I put bread, put into your mouth. So all you did was enjoy it. From the tongue, right to the gullet, all your work was just to chew and enjoy. And beyond the gullet, who's to control? So, in transforming that into energy and blood, and exiting the waste, there was no share of yours. Yours was just to do procedure, and your procedure was just to enjoy. Nothing besides enjoyment. Transforming it into energy, then seeing that it is balanced, that amount of vitamins, proteins, carbs, that is balanced, and then it's going through a filtering system by the kidney, etc. Then the waste is being thrown out, and the good is being then transformed into blood, and then from blood into energy, from energy then it's transferred to the entire body. Who's working? Do you ever think about it? We have to do things to the right sources. This lesson of trust. No matter what height you reach, Shah Jahan, one friend was Saadullah Khan. So his father, Jahangir, had died, so it was the time of appointment to the throne. Right. They used to call it Takht-e-Taus. So the throne in the day of the Mughal was very popular. So it was, there was so much of diamonds and all that, all studded on that. So it was something to be seen and a very famous thing. So one is throning and one is crowning. You crown the person and you throne the person. And there was a time for throning him. It would be a big affair, a royal affair. So many people recognize now he is the king. It's a big, grand affair. Now, Saadullah Khan is there. And Shah Jahan goes up to the throne. And the first thing that he does is he goes down in sajda and he cries for about half an hour. And then raises his hand, makes dua, etc. And then the coronation, the whole throning starts off. So as he stepped down the throne, Saadullah Khan, that was his friend, childhood friend, he had to be there at the throning procession. So he said, lucky you did this. You went up to the throne. You acknowledge that it is not of your own doing. It is his favor. That is why you went to sajda and cried so long. Had you not done this, you had spoken one word of praise for yourself, one word of attitude, of boast, of being proud and arrogant. See, I have hid a big dagger under my sleeve. I would have touched your stomach. I can't see that friend of mine that I grew up from childhood, you know. I can't see him going to Jahannam. Rather he die. I can be killed afterwards, but rather he die than him being proud and him becoming the mistake of the hadith من كان في قلبي مثقال ذرة من كبر لا يدخل الجنة. So, an iota, an atom of pride, then your entry to Jannah is all banned. So this attributing things to the right source. This is the essence of your ibadat, the essence of your service, is the essence of your bandagi. How nicely they say it in Urdu. Zindagi be bandagi sharmindagi. Zindagi be bandagi sharmindagi. What's the value of life without servicing Allah Ta'ala? Not serving Allah Ta'ala, you've been blessed with life, but not serving Allah Ta'ala, what's the good of life? Is there any good in life? And the service to Allah Ta'ala means that you're attributing to Allah Ta'ala. See the namaz from the beginning right till the end. Then nothing about yourself, it's all about Allah Ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. Subhanaka Allahumma. When Zakaria's brother was here, he's a high school teacher. I asked him, do you see how much we read Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, in namaz, out of namaz, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Subhanakallahumma, wa bihamdika. Don't you see how often we do? So what's the meaning of Subhanak? It's obviously glory, to glorify. That's what do you mean by glorify? You see, glory be to Allah Ta'ala. Right? So when you say glory be to Allah Ta'ala, what do you mean by glory? So they got stuck there. So I told him, see glory, what it means. Glory means that you're declaring that Allah Ta'ala is most perfect. What do you mean by most perfect? Is beyond perceivable perfection. What? Is beyond perceivable perfection. You know, we say the clock is accurate. Why? It is controlled by computer or whatever, right? So it's giving exact time. So that is perceivable perfection, right? Perfection is perceivable. And Allah Ta'ala is beyond perceivable perfection. That means that whatever we think of Allah Ta'ala is higher than that, is greater than that. We think we have a notion, we have a belief. But obviously we will think within our limit. Can you think beyond your limit? You can see to a limit, right? When you accept that. You can also hear to a limit. Right? You can smell things to a limit. You can work also with limitation. Beyond that limit can you work? Can you study? Can you see? Can you hear? Can you carry? You know, me, I go for weights. Alright, how much you can manage? And manage carrying 100 kilos. Beyond that, can't. Why? Limit. Are you limit? But a limit. You can boast about how strong you are. But understand, accept that you got a limit. And that what you are doing also is not of your own, is the doing of Allah Ta'ala. He is making it happen, so it happens. Don't think it, don't ever think it's yours. So any achievement at the beginning, at the end, in Surah Kahf, that person is boasting about himself. He says, أَنَا أَعَزُّ مِنْكَ مَالًا وَوَلَدًا. Me, see my wealth, see my following my children, see. مَا أَظُنُّ السَّاعَةَ قَائِمًا. I don't think this thing ever can end. I don't think this can ever end. You know the word zan, right? I want to ask the students here, What's the meaning of zani? Or and ask anybody, what's the exact meaning of zani? Zan is that which is not obvious and not perceivable by the senses. What? Some more Iblis Sadhana is giving us. It's not obvious. Badi. What is a badi? Obvious. It's not obvious and is not perceivable by the senses. Right. That's called zan. I saw others also, but I saw this to be the most perfect, the closest. Is not obvious and not perceivable. That's called zan. Right. So then you can have the levels of zan. One place you got ijtanibu kathiram min al-zan. Inna ba'da al-zanni ism. Right. And one place you got alladhina yazunnuna annahum mulaqu rabbihim. So one place you are stopped and one place you are commanded. One place you are stopped, ijtanibu kathiram min al-zan, and one place you are being commanded, alladhina yazunnuna annahum mulaqu rabbihim. So that place that you are stopped, ijtanibu kathiram min al-zan, is you having suspicions against people. Right? There also it was not perceivable by the brains, it was not obvious. You just imagined, you kept in mind, you processed a thought, right? But you processed a thought of a thing that was not visible and not obvious, right? You saw something missing here, right? There was a packet of buns here, you saw it missing. And one person was sitting in the back there. He's a chore. But did you see it? Did you see it? It's not perceivable by the mind, by the brain. And nor did you see it. So that's one. And الَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا رَبِّهِمْ. They have the certainty that they're going to meet. They are certain that they're going to meet Allah Ta'ala. Now, do you perceive this with your senses? You perceive it with your senses, you can't perceive it. And is it obvious? If it's not obvious, and it's not perceivable by the senses, that's called zan. Allah Asif Sam Nawati Rahmatullah, he says, zan is min al azdad. Like how you get tib, matbub, rajul matbubun, right? So tib is also from azdad. It can mean medicine, cure. It also means sick, so min al-azdad. I just spent a little bit of the grammar, zan, the meaning of zan. Right. So the whole iman, whether it is the iman of a sahabi or the iman of people in this century, of people that will be right at the day, at the time of Qiyamah. It will be based on zan. Why it's based on zan? Because your faith is subject to iman, right? Your faith is subject to iman. Iman is faith. Iman is belief. Belief what? Belief in Allah Ta'ala, in the Rasools, right? That they are true, right? But that all is that faith, that belief is subject to wahi, isn't it? So, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Anbiya are inspired, right? Or they are inspired. Wahi comes to them. That they are Rasuls, right? Whether it was Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or any other Nabi, they were inspired. What do you mean by inspiration? Inspiration or revelation is transferring a message in a very discreet way. So transferring a message, so that's wahi. Right? So that wahi, that inspiration came in a very discreet way. Discreet means not visible. So you couldn't see it. If you see it, right? So you're trusting. Iman is not something that just, you know, I worked it in my brain. No, you can't say that. Trusting the truth of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the honesty of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you're accepting this. You're accepting it for what? On the basis that you trust Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Though you didn't witness the wahi, you didn't see the wahi. Has anybody seen the wahi? You may have seen the athar, right? A bead of perspiration going, rolling down. Or Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mounted on an animal and that he can't endure the weight any longer. Or Zayd ibn Thabit, radiallahu anhu, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi leaning on him and he fears that his thigh will be crushed, right? So that's the asar. But the actual wahi is only experienced by Rasulullah's person. So the based on your trust in the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is your iman. So the whole iman also revolves around trust. Trust is not just your brain. Say. Now, people want everything to be understood by their logic and reasoning. By that logic and reasoning, it will take you to a certain point and just cut off them. At that point, cut off, say, I believe. Shamsuddin Kubra, rahmatullahi alayhi, he comes along the 5th or the 6th century, right? So all his luminaries like Fakhruddin Razi, etc., they all would go to him. You know, they would go for him for the spirituality, the tasawwuf, and all that, they would go to him. So now, Fakhruddin Razi is known. The philosophers all talk about him. They say razors, right? But he's Razi, Fakhruddin Razi. Razi because he comes from Ray. Ray is somewhere past Sham, somewhere outside, or somewhere in Samarkand, outside, right? So because of that, they call him Razi. So now he's come to Shamsuddin Kubra, rahmatullah alayhi, to put him into some spirituality. So as he's spending time, the Sheikh gave some wazifas and zikr. So now, he started off the zikr, he saw something leaving him. He felt as though something is leaving. So he went and related to the Shaykh, you know, I started the zikr, or you asked me, I see something leaving. He said, well, all that philosophy, that junk that you learned, is departing. Really, too dangerous, quietly moved away. The Shaykh said, well, you'll be replaced with something better. But I spent 25 years to acquire this thing here, and 1 minute I was let go. So now Fakhruddin Razi rahmatullahi is on the throes of death. Before he could die also, Shaitan tried to interfere. Shaitan saw this Razi rahmatullahi and he says to him, whose iman is better, yours or this tiller, the other person's working at the farm? His work is pickaxe and his work on the farm, whose iman is better, yours or his? But obviously mine is better than his, because mine is based on research. And his is just something that he's inherited. His iman is inherited, mine is researched. So what's greater, research or inherit? You, the normal brain will tell you that what you research is better than what you've just inherited, right? So the shaitan laughed him off, say, what are you talking? What are you talking? This farmer, this tiller here, as a farmer, right? No education is what. I will prove to you how strong his iman is. So shaitan is asking the farmer, kitne khuda hai, how many gods? One. And if I prove to you more than one, multiple gods, since you ever see that for the second time, you see this pickaxe, I'll bust your head. So shaitan says to Allah Marazi, how can you ever discuss with these people? They toh ladne marne ke liye taiyar ho jate hain. They will bust your head just now. You can't fight with them. So yours, I can just properly one shot and just drop you off. By using logic and reasoning, but to break you is so easy, so simple. I can bust you. So now, Allama Razi is on the threshold of death. His sheikh is 1,000 kilometers away. He's making wuzu. And as making wuzu now, and his hand, he's washing his hand, and looking at a certain direction. Khadim is washing the hand, and the whole jug, which is normally used to do the wuzu, that whole jug is used, but his hands are not yet washed. Then, you know, the Khadim is worried because on one end, I need to show respect. He's overwhelmed with respect. But on the other hand, he's looking one side, and then he takes out his sandal that he makes wuzu with, he throws it in that direction, and he says, کہہ دو اس خبیث کو کہ میں خدا کے پر ایمان لاتا ہوں بلا دلیل کے. Tell that wretched person that I believe in Allah Ta'ala without any proof. Anyway, it's finished. They worked out the time, 1,000 kilometers apart, no time of technology, right? Exactly that time he passed away. They worked it out, right? So what happened? He said, no, shaitan appeared. And I began to prove the oneness of Allah Ta'ala. He broke my one argument. Then I presented the second one, he broke that. And the third one, and I broke that. Right. See, sometimes you have to just coerce your mind, break your mind. Just believe in it. One wise person, he wrote up an email, right? And that email, he was trying to be a little bit funny about Islam. So I said, I don't have time to break my head with him, but let me just reply to him in one line, one stroke. One line. Give him a dan tor job, just break him straight. So I wrote what proof you got that you are of legitimate stock? That's okay, he's writing a message. It got really, really bad. I will prove it. Can anybody prove it? But you don't hear that anybody says that you're not legitimate. You don't hear that. You don't hear that. So I think, what proof you got that you have legitimate stock? You got very upset, very, very upset about DNA and this or whatever. So DNA is not to prove. You can confirm something, but it's not to prove. So this side, that sheikh could see it, seeing 1,000 kilometers, Allah opened, raised all the hijabat. So you could see, right? Like how on television, raised the hijabat. You can see something, right? So, man discovered it now. Allah Ta'ala knew it. He'll always know. Nothing is blocking Allah Ta'ala's view. Nothing blocks him. He wants to raise it and show someone, he can show it to you. So, he just said that words, I believe in Allah Ta'ala without any proof, and his soul just departed. See, that's what I'm saying. Trust Allah, but not trust. Anything you're doing, trust. That's why. كل أمر ذي بال لم يبدأ ببسم الله. Any work, anything, important work, start with Bismillah. Eating, covering a utensil, closing the door, whatever, entering the home. So you start with Bismillah. Without Bismillah, without, what is Bismillah? Bismillah, that ba comes sometimes for, either comes from Musahabat. With the name of Allah Ta'ala. So we see with the name of Allah Ta'ala, then some word is muqaddar here. Something is understood. What's understood? I'm starting this with the name of Allah Ta'ala. Or for isti'anat. I'm starting this work with the help of Allah Ta'ala. Or with istibarak. I'm starting this work with blessings of Allah Ta'ala. Either blessings of Allah Ta'ala, either the help of Allah Ta'ala, or with the name of Allah Ta'ala. I understood the whole meaning of Bismillah. There's some Arabic, it's accepted, right? Qaddar, it's understood. They don't have to say it, but it's understood. Like in our language also, some things are understood. So someone knows the language, it's understood, they don't say it clearly. But it's understood. So this Bismillah has to be done with a frame of mind, to experience the good, trusting Allah Ta'ala, with His help, with His blessings, I'm doing this. Allah Akbar.